today, I want to just say, as we move into the new year, and I mentioned it earlier in the opening with the talk about the Bible application. It has been one of the fascinating things about 2020 for me has been the way we have seen technology integrate with our lives as never before in this past year. Ways that I think are going to continue to go with us forward even as they kind of came to bear in the past year. I'm thinking of ways like how we do school and education with so much of the distance learning and all the technology that has been required. Will there ever be a return to the old normal? I don't know that there will. There are going to be things that continue on because of things that we have simply discovered or the way the technology has moved in. If you're on the live stream today, what a blessing it is to be on the live stream. You know, a year ago, we didn't do live stream. A year ago, we talked about doing live stream, Dennis. A year ago, I would always hear from my friend Darren, "Hey, John, when are you going to live stream church?" And I would always say something like, "Hey, Darren, when are you going to come to church?" Not very compassionate, not very pastor-like, but hey, it's what I do. And so, you know, but it is. And so this year, kind of for this, we are pressed. And so because of that press, we do something that maybe we hadn't done before. You know, moving to seeing our Bible on our phone or on our tablet or whatever, as opposed to having the Bible in, you know, in ink and paper in our hands. For some people say, "Oh, I don't like that. I like the feel of ink and paper." Great. But, you know, there's a lot of people who have come because we have become so familiar with that which we carry in our hands that we've allowed the Bible then to become a little bit more of who we are on the day-to-day and take it with us no matter where we go. And that, you know, I'm kind of glad for that. I'm kind of glad for that, that somehow the technology that develops, because technology sometimes develops in ways that we are very upset about or brings bad things into the mix of the life that we live. But yet sometimes the technology can work here for our benefit, and that's a good thing. I want to hold on to that. You know, one of the weird parts, though, of the technology of having the Bible in your hand, on your phone, is that somehow they know what's going on. And when I say they, I have no idea who they are, but somebody knows what's going on. I mean, you know, if you were to open up your Bible app and you were to look up a certain verse or type in a certain search for a word, or if you're reading through your Bible app and you highlight it because you want to remember and go back and do it, or you push the share button so that other people who are on the app with you can see what you're reading that day, or even if you don't push the share button, you just do it for your own, you know, somebody knows. It's weird. Not that anybody cares. I mean, is anyone really sitting there mining through all this information about what people look at? People do. People do. Not out of a sense of caring, but just out of a sense of knowing where people are. They have the ability to track what we read or what we search for, the answers that we're pursuing and the questions that we ask to try to find those answers in the Bible. You can go online and people give this kind of statistics about what people are reading. You know, there was throughout this year, and they can see this going, people do a search on the Bible app, for example, and as the year began and the pandemic began, searches for words about fear were the most prominent. That makes sense, doesn't it? I don't feel that's some sort of an insidious invasion into my privacy, but it's part of how this goes. And so they could see that people were struggling with fear, and so they were looking for verses that would help address the fears that they had. As the pandemic continued on, they said there were other words such as peace and hope and faith became really prominent searches for people. As people were struggling, as the pandemic continued more than the first month or month and a half that we thought it was going to be, as people start struggling with that sense of being not at ease and not sure about when this was going to ever end, and so words like peace and hope and faith become very popular as people search for verses that would encourage them in those areas as well. The people who put the Bible app out there for us, it's called the one that I use is called YouVersion, and they did some stats at the end of the year, and they looked, and by country, they said this was the most shared, bookmarked, or highlighted verse of people across America. Now, this is different. Different countries did different verses. But here in the United States, the one that was most shared is this passage out of Isaiah 41:10. And Isaiah 41:10 says, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." Now, I probably should have read that off my phone. I could have added to that. But what a great verse for people to have and to hold and to remember. This sense of no matter what the past year brought to us, we still would be able to hold on to this verse. So this became YouVersion's 2020 verse of the year. Not because they thought it was good, but because it's the one that was most noted by people like you and me across the United States of America. And what a great verse. You know, all that is unprecedented that we had to get through, all that the navigating of circumstances that made us feel cut off from those around us, that and cut off not just from those around us, but everything that made us feel stable before. Whether it be our routine that got interrupted and just dumped over, or whether it means being cut off from all those that we thought we had connections with, and maybe those connections became much more tenuous. But this connection, "Do not be discouraged, for I am your God," was a good reminder for all of us to hold on to, no matter what that last year might have brought, no matter what this next year might bring, that this is a good foundation for us, that we do not need to move with fear. And where does this fear come from? You know, fear so often for us comes from things that we're uncertain about, things that we don't quite know. And because we don't quite know, we wonder if maybe something bad might come. And so that fear begins to raise up, that fear and anxiety that is just part of what it means to be human generally, but especially in times like this. Anytime that things are really beyond our control, we get that gnawing sense of anxiousness that begins to just well up within us. We want to have a sense of control. And sometimes because we don't know and things seem uncertain, that anxiety begins to grow up. And it is to that anxiety that Isaiah 41:10 says, "Do not be afraid." And there's a reason. Did you see it? The reason is because God promises his presence to be with you. You know, there's a lot of ways we could define the term anxiety. J.D. Walt said this about anxiety. "Anxiety is the felt experience of being unaware of the presence of God." Now, I don't know. You probably don't know J.D. Walt. I've met him once. He's kind of a prominent speaker, thinker, teacher now. You may not buy it, but I'm going to ask you to just indulge me on this. Is that not exactly what anxiety is? Think about a time in your life when you're in the midst of panic mode. How close does God's presence feel at that time? It feels far away. It does. Is it? No. But our awareness of his presence seems to be a distance. And when we're in the midst of that crisis that seems to be causing all this turmoil and all this anxiety, what comes to us is that sense that somehow I'm in this alone and I've got to control it. And the harder I try to control it, the harder it becomes. Wall says that anxiety is the felt experience, what it feels like whenever we are unaware of the presence of God. So if we are unaware of God's presence, that equals anxiety. What does being aware of his presence do for us? Yeah, it's going to lead us down a completely different path. And that's the path I want to choose for 2021. That's the path I want, because I realize if 2020 has taught us anything, is that we can't control the circumstances we live in. And that's okay. Sometimes we fool ourselves into thinking we can. Sometimes we get things going and our routine is set enough that it feels like we can. But the reality is we can't. And so if we can't do that, then how do we walk in God's peace moving through those circumstances? Because peace is not the absence of conflict. It's not the absence of adversity. It is the awareness of the presence of God in the midst of the circumstances that we are walking through. And not just the awareness of the presence of God, but awareness of the presence of a good God who not only loves you, but cares about what you care about. It may not turn out the way you want to. It's not like God is some sort of a genie that you rub the bottle and you get your wishes and they all come true. But it is about a God who cares about you and who is with you, and his presence is with you even in the midst of the anxious storms that we walk through. This gift of God guarding our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus is what I want to move forward with. This is the gift I want to take into 2021. And so I want to take a look at our passage, our main passage for today, just a couple of thoughts and a way to take this passage with us into 2021. And that's going to be our call for today. But Philippians 4:4-7, this is a verse that I think I have made mention of in my sermons more than any other year in the past. 2020 is full of Philippians 4 for me. Why do I keep going back to it? Because I think it has everything to do with life in years like 2020. And I think because of that, it can be exactly where we need to start off our 2021. Philippians 4, beginning at verse 4, says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything." And again, here we can put the translation. So be aware of the presence of God in all things at all times. That's a pretty loose translation, but I think it gets to the point. Do not be anxious, but be aware of the presence of God at all times in all things. And in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, isn't that what we said was going to be the opposite of that anxiousness? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What a promise that is going to guard our hearts and minds, that the peace of God is going to be what guards our hearts and minds, that that anxiety that we feel, that strangulation that we feel when things don't go our way or we're fearful of what might be coming, that somehow is going to take us over and somehow bring ruin to our life. Somehow, the peace of God will hold us as we maintain that awareness of his presence. And it begins in verse 4 with this idea of rejoicing. Now, again, a lot of us think this way, that somehow rejoicing needs to come out of something else. There needs to be a precursor to the rejoicing that is going to cause us to rejoice. Like, I need to have a celebration. My team needs to win the World Series. Or, you know, we need to celebrate a glorious anniversary. Or, I'm not going to talk about the NFL. Because some of you are going to be watching football today. And maybe your team is, you know, all of our teams here. Anyone have a team that's still alive? Okay, I'm a Rams fan. Corky, we're still alive, hanging on by a thread. Okay? All right, whatever. But sometimes we think rejoicing only comes in moments of celebration. And yet Philippians 4 reminds us that no, rejoicing is the precursor. It is the point of beginning here, that there is something that's going to happen in us that enables us to step forward. So with this verse, I want to hold on to it. Okay, so we're going to start with rejoicing. We're going to wind up with this do not be anxious. And we're going to walk ourselves through this pattern of prayer to find a place where the peace of God, which can then guard our hearts and minds, will hold us. So I want to recommend, this is part of my recommendation for you. This is going to be called what we call the Philippians 4 exercise. And I want to suggest this to you to be part of what you do take into the new year. If maybe you want a New Year's resolution, here it is. I'm going to do this from time to time throughout this year to help keep my feet grounded and keep my life rooted in God's way for me as I move through this new year coming up. The Philippians 4 exercise is simple. You take a pad of paper, okay? You take a pad of paper and you make two columns. You put one down the left and you put one down the right. It's a close call. I almost didn't know which was which. Down the left, I want you to make a list of things that bring me joy. And down the right, I want to have another list, and they don't have to be comparable. They don't have to be like the same amount or one's bigger, one's smaller. It doesn't matter. This is part of the exercise. List things that cause you anxiety. Left, we have joy. On the right, we have our things that cause us to be anxious. And then down the one side, I want to just make this part of then our prayer. This becomes part of our prayer. That we take down the left side, we walk through each one, and we take time to pray about it. Father, I thank you for whatever it is that is causing joy, that joy grows out of. You'll find it. It may be hard on some days because things seem dark, but you'll find reasons to be joyful. Take time to pray for that. Father, I thank you for whatever it is, and I rejoice in you. I rejoice in you. And once you've gone down that list, it's not like saying, let's turn our back on those things that make us anxious. No, we're going to bring those before the Lord as well. Because as we do that, we are going to be turning those anxious things into this peace which God promises us. So we start with the rejoicing, and then we move over into the other side. And on that other side, you go down the list as well. Father, I give you whatever it is causing that anxiety. And I ask you to, whatever it is you're asking. That's not putting God in undue pressure. God is God. God is big. God can handle it. What it's doing is putting us in the right position where we are now humbly coming and saying, that which is causing my anxiety is too big for me, and I'm okay with that because God is bigger, and I'm giving it to him. This way, as we begin with this sense of God's presence, no, excuse me, we come to it, we find that God's presence is going to be all throughout this. So we walk it through. Take a little time to pray over the joys. Take a little time to pray over that which causes this anxiety. And you notice that as Paul wrote this out, he put in the middle of it all this key to it, everything. Between the joy and rejoicing and the anxiousness and not being anxious but turning it into prayer, in verse 6 it says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Again, this becomes the key. Not just in it becomes the key. Recognizing the presence of God, and as God's presence is near, and as we rest in it, as we trust in it, as we allow that to be what helps shape us in that moment, in that day, we begin to allow the Spirit of God to then guard our hearts and minds. Do you think that God doesn't want to guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus? Of course he does. But this begins to be the secret to unlock even his ability to move in us more freely so that he can begin to remove those anxious thoughts and begin to take away that panic feel so that we can move into this new year as new people. Not because our circumstances are better or our circumstances have now changed, but because we can move into this aware of his presence, aware of his help, and we can say hello 2020 and say this is going to be a better year. Because the Lord is on my side. He's already demonstrated how he's on our side. He's given us reminders of his goodness, but he invites us to practice his presence even more. It is that practicing his presence that the whole idea of communion wraps around. Friends, I know for those who came to church this morning, we do have the opportunity of celebrating communion, but I would encourage you, even those on the live stream, to take a moment of partaking in some way of a communion exercise. It is simply this. It is a way, a tangible way, to be reminded of God's presence and his love for you. That's why even as we hear the words of Jesus, it is the body being broken on that night before his betrayal. It is the cup that he refers to as the cup of the new covenant in his blood, which is being shared. There is a sense of reminder for all of us of God's goodness and his presence and his love and his power at work, not in some kind of a magical way, but just in the reality that God is at work and desires that we would be reminded of it. So as we open up 2021, I'm going to encourage those who've come today, we're going to take these little cups with these little breads. You just peel back the cellophane on top, and there's a little wafer. And for those of us here, and for those of us out there on the live stream, I would encourage you to receive this. This is the body of Christ, which has been broken for you. Please take and receive this message of God's love for you. And for those who are here or those who are out on the stream, and you have an opportunity now, whether you have a little cup of grape juice or you have something else that will represent now the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, which has been poured out of his love and sacrifice for you and for me, to forgive sins and to remind us again of the great depth of love which God has gone to for you and me. Reminder of his presence is with us even now. Let us receive this cup of salvation. And let us pray. God, it is with a thankful heart that we come to this moment on the at the very beginning, first steps of this new year. For all that we cannot see, for all that we cannot forecast, for all that we cannot control, Father, we give it all to you. We thank you for your love for us, for these tangible reminders of your grace, of your presence, of your care for us. So, Father, we ask that you would enable us to be your people moving forward, empowered by the body of Christ, broken for us in the blood of Christ, poured out for us, empowered by your goodness as we face all that you bring to us in this new year. God, we lift to you all of our joys. Father, even as we lift to you all of our concerns, guard our hearts and minds and carry us forward. In Jesus' name, amen.